Philippians 4, verse 5 is a really short, simple verse. It says, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is near." Now, that phrase, "the Lord is near," scares some folks because they think that Jesus is watching us so he can catch us in some sin and thereby send us to hell. Those who are in the know about the truth of the scriptures and the truth about Jesus know that's just not true. Jesus is here to help us along our way as we are connected to him in all ways. If you would, please, turn in your Bibles to Acts 17. Acts chapter 17. One of the things that we want to know is, who is he near to?
Is he near to Christians? Will he?
Sure, he is. But is he near the lost as well? And the answer to that is, yes, he is. If you turn over to Acts chapter 17, Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 24. Acts 17, verse 24. "The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live, we move, we exist, even as some of your own poets have said, for we also are his children. Being then the children of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by art and the thought of man." It is very interesting, at least it is to me, that there was a time when we did not exist. You remember that verse that we just read, that God appointed their times, boundaries for nations? You and I have been appointed to live in this age, starting with the year that we are born. That's God's purview. That's the way he wanted you to exist. Psalm 139, if you would please turn there with me. Psalm 139, let's take a look there. Psalm 139. In verse 15, Psalm 139, verse 15, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth." Some translations have that "in the womb." "Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them." So there was a time when we did not exist. And then our parents came together. And mom was with child, you and I. And the Lord was in there in your mother's womb. And I don't know, but the best way that I can kind of sort of imagine it is, he's tinkering away there in the womb. And he's making you. He's putting arms and legs and toes and fingers and hands and heads and necks and torsos and tummies. He's making sure all that happens for you. And then you become. You are the child that God has made. God made you, simply. And he gives you life. He gives you breath. And he gives you existence. So God is close to every person that walks on this earth. Whether you're an abject sinner or whether you are the saint of saints, God is close to everyone. Now, for sure, God appreciates those who are his children.
He loves his children. And he would do everything that's necessary for his children. It is by grace that you have been saved. And this not of yourselves, lest you should boast. Ephesians chapter 2. So then that we are saved in the plan that God has devised, his own plan in how we are going to be saved in order to live with him in eternity. Life without end. In the most blessed of places, the most blissful of places, the most beautiful of places, there in heaven where we live in that spiritual world, where nothing can hurt us, where nothing makes us sad, where nothing is ever going to pull us away from the security of our God and Father. We live that life as Christians. Our God is absolutely, extremely close to you and I. Well, we know that he is near to the unsaved, and he's also near to the saved. If you would take a look, please, at John chapter 14, John chapter 14, beginning at the beginning of the chapter, there's Jesus talking to disciples, his children. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's Jesus' promise to disciples. It's Jesus' promises to you and I as his disciples. The unsaved, if they continue to be unsaved, have their own lot in life, so to speak. They make their own beds. But for Christians, the saved, those who are willingly doing what God wants to be done, we are walking the path to heaven. If you would turn with me, please, to John chapter 15. Just the very next chapter, John chapter 15. Jesus says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it might bear more fruit. He goes on to say, you're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. And then he goes on to say in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Then he says in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Then he goes on to say, if he does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Every now and then I plant a garden. And we put those seeds in. I learned that you put 3 seeds in the hole. One for the bird, one for the worm, and one for yourself. That's the way I've always planted. And you're standing there, you come out every day, and you water it, make sure everything's happening just the way it needs to happen. And then all of a sudden, one day you go out there and there's this little blade sticking up out of the dirt. And that is the coolest thing ever. Because you have planted that and you're bearing produce, you're bearing fruit from the effort that you have done. Same thing with the way of the Lord. The Lord says that he is the vine. Branches cannot live unless they are attached to the vine. Christians cannot live unless they are attached to the vine. We must be attached to Jesus Christ. Well, what does that do for us after all?
Well, for one thing, we don't die.
The next thing is that we're watered, fed, and taken care of. And then after a time, as we grow and mature, we begin producing fruit for the Lord. A lot of people would take this chapter and say that producing fruit for the Lord means that I'm out there evangelizing, getting people to be baptized. But that doesn't have to be the only meaning. It can simply mean that you, as produce of the Lord, are producing within yourself goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and all the things that we know that are the fruit of the Spirit. It is a far better life we live when we love than when we hate. It is a far better life that we live when we trust rather than doing it on our own. It is a far better life that we live when we give everything to God. It may be one day that the Lord will require you to give up your home. It may be that the Lord will require you to give up your automobiles. The Lord may say, give me all the money that's in your accounts. And if you're a true believer, if you believe Him that much, if you trust Him that much, you will give up your home if the Lord requires that. You will give up your money if that's what the Lord requires. You will give up your automobiles if that's what the Lord requires. Now that is tremendous, tremendous faith. Now let me ask you this question, or point you to this other thing. Why am I saying that? Because, well, we are connected to the branch, which is Jesus. And so we trust Him for our own sustenance, both physical and spiritual. Would you give up your home? Would you invite strangers into your home? Would you invite people that are living in a tent on the street into your home? Would you let them use the extra bedroom that you might have? Would you provide food for them? Would you provide ways that they might take care of their hygiene needs? The Lord requires your home. The Lord requires you to help those who are less fortunate. He requires you to do the things that account for love to complete and total strangers who are in very desperate measures. Doesn't it remind you of the parable of the Good Samaritan? Samaritans. Jews don't like Samaritans. They're half-breeds. They have a mockery of religion, according to the Jews, although they think they believe that they're doing just fine. So a Jewish guy is coming along, and he's beset by bandits, robbers. They beat him up, strip him naked, and leave him on the side of the road. And here comes the Samaritan. And he looks down at just a human being who needs help. He applies oil to his wounds, puts him on his beast of transportation, takes him to an inn, says, take care of this guy, and whatever more is needed, I'll pay when I come back this way. So would you do that? Would you stop and if somebody were just flat crying on the side of the road, just by themselves, they've gone as far as they can, and they're just weeping on the side of the road, would you take them into your home? Would you take them to places that are able to give them the proper aid? There are some situations, I know, brother, there are some situations we just cannot help. Some people are just too far away from our own abilities and resources to provide much help for them. So we take them, if we can, to some place that will give them the proper aid. But you see, that's what we vines are to do. The branch is Jesus. We live in Jesus. And if our vine branch falls off, how is it that we're going to live? We're not. We're going to dry up and die. And so what happens then? The Lord takes all those that have died, casts them into the fire. But I want to point out something else to you. That as you are the branches, you've noticed in John chapter 15 that the Lord prunes those who are His. All right. So I am a branch, half alive. There's some greenery in me. This up top part is dead. And somebody comes along with some pruning shears and cuts me right off. Ah, that hurts. Right? Same sort of thing in the spiritual life. You're going to experience issues, problems, obstacles, and things that you can't possibly believe that you're going to get through or over. But on the other side, you come out stronger because you have trusted in God Almighty. You have taken His word into your heart. And you are regenerated every day, it seems like, to be one with the Lord. So this thing, this idea of being connected to the Lord is incredibly important. How close is He to you and I? He's as close as our next breath. And that's the way Christians live. Well, the third point I want to point out to you this morning is just a simple word, and. All right, so we know He's close to the lost. He's close to the saved. We know that we're connected. We are one with Jesus. We know that. But then what does all that mean? What has that for you and I? Well, I'm going to take you back to the Old Testament. Psalm 73, please. Beginning in verse 23. Psalm 73, beginning in verse 23. Psalm 73:23. I hear the Bible pages turning. That's a good thing. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. This is the writer that is speaking to God. Regardless of how moody I am, regardless of how I feel, regardless of how angry I might be, I realize in the end that I am continually with you. The last part of that verse says, you have, past tense, taken hold of my right hand. Now, for you parents that have young children, very young children, when you go places that you're not particularly familiar with, you don't let your children, young or wild. You take them by their hand so that they don't get lost, so that nothing hurts them. You protect them. That's what God does to you and I. He takes us by our right hand. And He watches over us, makes sure that we have what we need spiritually for maturity. It allows us to grow in trust. You know, as you're being led along, as a child is being led along, and the parent's holding him by his right hand, he doesn't just turn around and start kicking the dad in the shins and say, you know, I don't trust you anymore. I don't like you. I can do better on my own. And the parent is just standing there laughing because he knows the silliness of that statement. By the same token, when God takes us by our right hand, we don't turn and kick at Him. We trust Him explicitly for everything that's in our life. But let's read on. With your counsel, you will guide me. God's word, the counsel. I will know how to get home to heaven. I will know how to maintain my saintship, if I can say it that way. I know how to do the things that the Lord wants me to do. And I know to ask forgiveness when I don't do them well or at all. Your counsel will guide me and afterward receive me to glory. That's the end. I know that Jesus is close to me. He's close to the unsaved. I know that I am one with Jesus, as John chapter 15 says. And he goes on to say, here in this particular verse, you will afterward receive me to glory. Whom I have in heaven but you. Besides you, I deserve nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God, my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. That's what Paul was doing in Acts chapter 17, as he was on Mars Hill explaining the things of God to those supposedly intelligent, wise people. And he explained that God is not made with hands. God does not live in temples made with hands. God is not served by human hands. It's just the other way around. God says, I created you, and I give you life, breath, and existence. And so we must honor him. We must worship him. And when we are joined to him, we walk, knowing that we will be taken up into glory. This morning, where are you? Are you close to Jesus? Have you gotten far away from him? Do you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins and thereby become one with him? You have an opportunity this morning to do just that. Please come forward, talk with me while we stand and sing this song.